You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com. I need some touching.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my delightful wife, Tacy. Hello, Tacy.
Hello.
This is a show for people who never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, or you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Poohhead.
Excellent. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy, or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right. All right, please don't forget to go to stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon needs. Good luck finding certain things right now. Unbelievable. If a month ago you told me that we were going to have a shortage in this country of toilet paper and Plaquenil, I would have thought you insane. But there we are. If you'd like to lose weight with us on during this time of self-reflection and self-isolation, check out Noom, noom.drsteve.com. It's not a diet. It is a psychology app. It has helped me get the weight off and keep it off. I'm having a little difficulty right now with my stress eating, but I'm still doing way better than I would have without them. And I'm still keeping the weight at a very manageable place. And I'm looking forward to getting back down to exactly my ideal body weight, which I'm just a few pounds away from.
But I mean, that's phenomenal. Check out to be your ideal body weight.
It's insane. I haven't been my ideal body weight since after college.
So. I'll never be my ideal body weight.
Well, you're ideal to me, Taste.
Oh, well, thanks, Steve.
Noom.drsteve.com. And then don't forget Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. He's banned from the studio, but if you go visit him over there, tell him we're at least talking about him. Okay, very good. First off, I have an apology to make, and I thought, you know, I need to stop trying to be funny and just stick to medicine.
Amen.
So this person sent me a text message through our voicemail thing and said, educate yourself first with the facts before you go on the air and lie. Please look at how many people have the coronavirus in New York. Learn some math. And then he says, there are 20 million people in New York State with 113,000 cases. That's 18% of New York has coronavirus. You claim 0.04% is a little off. Okay. So anyway, I looked up the numbers, and the population of New York State is 19.54 million. And as of this recording, there were 138,863 known cases in the state. So to get the percentage, you take the known cases divided by the population, right? I'm right, right? That's how you do it.
I mean, I don't do math, but I can tell him that.
Well, so 3 divided by 100 is 3%.
Yes.
Right? If you had 3 cases and the population was 100, it'd be 3% of the population. Okay, so let's ask Alexa. Alexa, what percent of 1.95 million is 138,000? Oh, it's not Alexa, it's Echo. Sorry. Boo. Let me give myself one of these. Let's try that again. Echo, what percent of 19,540,000 is 13? Oh, shit. Never mind. Echo, stop. This is very professional. Let's try this again. I mean, I can just do the math, but it'll sound more impressive if she does it. Okay, one more time. Echo, what percentage of 19,540,000 is 138,863?
138,863 over 19,540,000 is equivalent to about 0.711%.
Okay, so it's less than 1%, not 18%. Now, here's where the apology comes in. I sent him back. I said, I don't mind pushing numbers around, but please do the calculation before you call me a liar, okay? And then I said, I'll just take a screenshot of that and post it on Twitter.
Well, that was smart.
Yeah, well, okay. It would have been funny because I didn't really take it personally. It's like everyone's
a little on edge.
A little on edge, including me. And I screen capped it and put it on Twitter. Didn't realize the fucking guy's phone number was.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I just doxed a listener, and I am extremely sorry that I did that. I immediately, once somebody pointed it out to me, I deleted it and I put out a text saying, please, you know, I didn't intend to dox this guy. Please just leave him alone. And then I sent him a note. Now, after he called me a liar, I have to send him a text saying, I'm so sorry. I just accidentally doxed you, and I will reimburse you if you need to change your phone number. So anyway.
Well, he started it.
Well,
he did. He started it.
But it was naughty.
He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't very nice.
No, and neither was I. So anyway, ma'am or miss or whatever, you know,
jerk,
whatever you want to be called, I apologize, and I absolutely would never dox somebody. I was really trying to do it in a lighthearted way, and then my adrenaline, once I realized what I did, you know, I may not even be on Twitter anymore. I mean, that's a bannable offense. So anyway, it was just stupid. And I wasn't thinking, and I didn't notice it. I mean, I looked at it, but it's so tiny on that little phone screen, you know, I just didn't see it. And then I looked at it on the computer, and it's like, oh, shoot.
That's not something you would do on purpose.
No, I absolutely would never do that on purpose. So, anyway, there you go. So, what do you got? How are you doing?
God, I'm so over this. And I realized, you know, last week I was like, well, it's amazing how a human being can, you know, adapt. And today I'm not feeling that way at all. No.
So you're having good days and bad days.
Yes, I guess that's how you would say it. Yeah. And the highlight of my day is my nap. And I'm a little frustrated today because it doesn't seem like I'm going to fit one in.
Well, because of this, sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah, that's all I got to, I mean, really, what do you want me to, I get up in the morning, I get dressed, what the hell for? I go downstairs, I drink coffee, I do a WebEx or two. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then your husband is, you know, at least 2 days a week going right into the.
Yeah, which I'm, into
the breach.
Yeah, which. Yeah, is
so I'm sure that doesn't help make you feel any better
about anything.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I am being very careful in my Darth Vader outfit, but still.
I know. I'm thankful for that. And, you know, we have a physician in the area who does have it. And
he posted some stuff on social media, so
yes.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
We won't give out his name, but you want to say what your question was?
One question was that They decided to electively put him on the ventilator, and I just thought, why? You know, I just was going to ask you why someone would want, what would be the case if you have COVID? What's the cause of you needing to be put on a ventilator? Just to rest your body, or so you can get better, or
well, I don't know that they electively do that. Is that what he said? Did he say? Did he use the words elective?
Dude, that's what he used.
Okay. Now, sometimes physicians will use that word and they don't mean it the way that. So elective ventilation is something that we use when someone is, you know, donating organs and stuff. So I think what he's saying is they decided to put him on the ventilator because his oxygen requirement was increasing. That would be my guess. Now, mechanical ventilation is just a form of life support. It's a ventilator's a machine that takes over the work of breathing when you're not able to do that for yourself. I have a non-invasive ventilator in our bedroom. You know, my BiPAP is actually, you know, increases the pressure or the flow when I'm inhaling and gives me a little bit of back pressure when I'm exhaling. And those can be used as non-invasive ventilators in some folks. They're trying to avoid using those in COVID patients because of the risk of increasing aerosols, you know, because it's not a closed circuit. When you hear that mask farting on someone's face, you know, there's air is leaking around the side of the mask. And so I have been reading that people are concerned about using those things in these COVID wards. But the mechanical ventilator is basically that. You put a tube down somebody's throat into their trachea, which is the breathing tube part of our upper airway. And there's a little balloon in there, and you blow the balloon up so that you get a good seal. And then you can force air in and allow the air to escape. And then you can add a little bit of back pressure to keep the alveoli, the little air pockets in the lung, inflated. And all this really does is enhance oxygen delivery to the lung so that it can be transported across the lining of the lung into the bloodstream, right? So you can, and there's a lot of different parameters that you can adjust. You can adjust the percentage of oxygen all the way up to 100% and all the way down to about 21%. I remember when I was in medical school, we had this intern come through. Now, regular room air is 21% oxygen, right? And so they had this person on 24% oxygen. And then the nurse said, yeah, the person's doing well on 24% oxygen. And the resident said, okay, well, let's just take him on down to 20. It was like, uh-oh. Because that would be less than room air, get it?
Yes.
So anyway, the other thing that you can do with a ventilator is you can blow off carbon dioxide. If you have someone that is building up carbon dioxide in their lungs because they're not breathing effectively, we'll see this in people with emphysema, you can actually hyperventilate them so you can increase the rate. So you can change the oxygen concentration, you can change the rate, and you can change the pressure on the inspiratory, we know when you're breathing in, to force more air in, and you can change the pressure when you're breathing out to give you a little bit of back pressure. So those are the main parameters that
you
mess
with. Now, would he be asleep? Do they put you asleep?
I'm just going to say this. If they have to do this to me, they, by God, had better put me to sleep.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Because I have such an active gag reflex that if I just stick out my tongue and bring my finger toward my mouth, not even touch anything, I'll start to gag. So I can't even imagine them sticking this thing down my throat.
And will they keep them asleep?
So yes and no. What we found is there's a lot of different medications that you can use. You can use propofol, which was Michael Jackson's magic milk. And we can use Versed, which is like a Valium-like drug, except it's got a very short half-life. And they can use another drug called Presidex or Diprovan, which affects breathing less. And then you can use fentanyl as well, which is an opioid. And all of these things can be used to make people more comfortable while they're on the vent. The problem is the longer you have people on sedation, the longer it takes for them to recover. Have you ever had a colonoscopy? You have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How did, after you were under for probably 15 minutes, did you feel goofy afterward?
Yes, but that was before.
Motion detected at the front door.
Thank you, Echo.
That was before propofol.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Alexa, Echo, whoever.
Yeah, so you just multiply that times 14. Well, you know, so you did it for 15 minutes. So four times that would be an hour, and four times 24 would be a day. That, and then multiply all that times 14 days for some people being on the vent. It's really hard to shake some of that stuff, particularly things like fentanyl, which are fat soluble. You know, that means that the fat cells in our body become a reservoir for that, and it just sort of accumulates and then has to be cleared from the body in dribs and drabs over a period of time. And so we try not to sedate people for too long, but so, you know, you've got to do something to pass the time if you're just laying there with this tube down your throat. So yeah. Now, you remember that balloon we talked about in the trachea? That balloon can cause problems if over a period of time there. Do you want to go see if there's somebody down there? I don't know if people listening can hear that, but the dogs are going crazy. And, yeah, I've got my gun right here. Let me know if I need to come down with barrels blazing. But anyway, because I doxed some guy. Where was I? Hell, I don't even remember what we were talking about. So this is going to be one of those shows. Sorry, everybody. All right, let's take some phone calls.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Ronnie B.
Motion detected at the front door.
Oh, what a very professional show this is.
I had a question about the thing that everybody's talking about nowadays. What's the difference between like airborne and foodborne pathogens or viruses or whatever? It seems like we're all talking about wearing masks and stuff, but nobody's worried about getting a hamburger from the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay. No. And you know, I'm going to quit saying it's a really great question because they're all great questions, and I'm so sick of hearing the nightly the nightly news conference where every question somebody asks, whatever the doctor expert is, has to say, that's a great question. They're all great questions, so let's just stipulate that. There is currently zero evidence of COVID-19 being transmitted through food that I am aware of. And this virus is extremely thermolabile, which means that in the presence of heat, it will completely denature and become inactivated. And, you know, raw food, you know, if somebody hawked a loogie on it and then you just ate it, maybe. So you might go easy on that. But, you know, if you're going to a place where they're cleaning their utensils and cleaning their areas, and using gloves properly. By the way, some of the fast food places are not using gloves properly. They've got people who are handling money with the gloves and, you know, digging around in things and then putting a lid on your cup and then running their hand all the way around it to seal the lid. That's not the proper way to use gloves, just by the way. We appreciate the effort, but you got to think about what you're contaminating. You know, the biology of the virus is it can't survive for surfaces for a real long time. And, you know, foodborne viruses like norovirus can last for days on surfaces. And these things aren't bacteria, so they can't grow inside of food either. The amount of virus that's on the food is just what was placed there. And that will decrease exponentially over time according to its half-life on that surface. So the stomach is very acidic and therefore should offer some protection for people who still have acidic stomachs. Even people on PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, still have acidic stomachs. They're just not as acidic as they were. So, if you're worried about the packaging, that I understand that. Wash your hands after handling the packaging and just treat it like it's contaminated and you should be okay. Food that comes from restaurants should be extremely low risk because food industry workers already are quite aware of standards for food handling and they have a heightened awareness about food safety. So that should set your mind at ease. I'm not aware of any case in the United States or anywhere in the world that's been pinned toward food. I may be wrong on that, and I'm willing to be corrected. But if it does happen, it's exceedingly rare. Now, you asked about airborne. There's been some talk about this virus being able to be transmitted by close talking. So again, don't close talk with people. Those cases would be exceedingly rare. However, as this virus becomes less and less rare in our environment, that's why now the CDC is recommending that we wear masks because there's so many cases now. And remember, we talked in the past about the Diamond Princess, that half of the people that tested positive had no symptoms whatsoever. So it was about 46%, but let's just say half. So for every case you've got that you know about, there's at least one other case that you didn't know about. And that's no big deal when you've got 1,000 cases in the country. It becomes a bigger deal when you have 300,000 cases in the country or 3 million cases in the country. So that's why they're now recommending that people wear masks, because if you're asymptomatic, it may decrease the transmission somewhat. Now, there's a study that just came out, I don't know, last week, where I believe it was in Korea. It was a very neat study. They had people cough on a Petri dish that had COVID. It's like, well, you got it. What else you got to do? Let's do you got time to do a study. Let's do a study. So they had them cough into a Petri dish, and then they had them put on a cotton mask and then a regular surgical mask and had them cough into another Petri dish and then counted the number of particles. And they were still able to transmit particles onto this Petri dish. Now, one thing I didn't get from the study was how close was it? Because the distance away actually matters. Now, remember, we talked previously about this inverse square rule, which has to do with things that disperse diminishing with the inverse of this or with the square of the distance. So if they spewed out a certain number of particles, then when they were two times as far away, it's actually a quarter as many particles. So if at 1 foot you measure it at 2 feet, it would be a fourth as much. And then at, 3 feet, it'd be a ninth as much, et cetera, right? So if you wear a mask and you decrease that by 50%, say, I don't know what the number was, might have been much less than that, but if it was 50%, then because of the inverse square rule, you're actually making a huge difference when you get out to, say, 6 feet where people should be standing from you. The other thing is that let's just say that wearing a mask prevents 1% of illness. When you've got 100 patients that have this, you might not even prevent one illness because you're not going to come into contact with them. But when you've got 100,000 people, you prevent 1% of those. That's 1,000 people. I'll wear a mask to prevent 1,000 people from getting this and dying, You know what I mean? So, anyway. All right.
Ugh.
Anything going on down there when you went downstairs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. No, but not because of that.
Okay. Very good. Oh, you feel bad now. You were mean to that guy.
Yeah, I was mean to the guy who was mean to Steve. Now I feel bad.
Well, and then I made things 10 times worse. I should have just stopped and just kept my mouth shut. Don't
try
to be funny.
That's the thing about, I mean.
Don't try to be funny.
Social media can really just, and nobody ever wins these arguments.
That's right.
Like, I got in an argument with somebody one time because she said that physicians make money off prescriptions that they write.
Yeah.
That is not true. Not true.
I wish it were true. I'd write the hell out of some
too.
Stuff.
We'd, yeah. We'd do a whole lot better. That is not true. If you believe that, you are wrong. You are flat out wrong. I argued with this woman on this website.
Yeah, there's no...
On Facebook. And at the end of it, I just said, oh, just whatever. Get your flu shot. And I lost that argument. And I know for a fact...
Whatever. Get your flu shot.
Yes. I know for a fact I was right. Still lost the argument.
Yeah.
You know, I said you can call the FDA. You can ask them. You can ask your local physician. You can talk to any nurse that calls in prescriptions. You know, you can ask anybody. And I still lost that argument. And I know for 100% I was right.
Right. If you get upset, you lost already.
Yes. And so I just cannot. I cannot do these social media arguments. They're just not worth it ever.
Every time I do something like that, I get burned every single time. That was just stupid. And if that dude is listening, I could not be more sorry. And I really was just dicking around with him because I knew, you know, he was stressed out and looked at those numbers and freaked out and was like, damn, you know, you're minimizing this. I'm not trying to minimize anything.
No, we're not trying to minimize it here. I mean, especially, not this, which that does bring me to a question I had, Steve.
Sure.
If I can
do better with this than the ventilator question. I was still worried about this stupid social media thing. Well, I was very distracted trying to answer
everybody,
that. Sorry.
Almost everybody's been burned. And if you haven't been burned, congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations on being a lot smarter than everybody else. And, you know, way to go, dude. That's great. And keep it up.
You're listening to Weird Medicine.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, Tase, let's take a minute to talk about a new sponsor to the show, DeepDiscount.com. It's a great site to buy movies, TV shows, music, and so much more at really great prices. I'm talking classics from back in the day, hard-to-find titles, and new ones, too. The best price is the prices are incredible, and the choices are just about literally endless. You know, did you know that they had vinyl?
No, I did not.
I always thought a deep discount, before I learned a lot about them and started exploring the site, I thought of it as a movie site. But they have vinyl, they have video games, they have CDs, movies and TV, electronics, toys and gifts. They even have apparel. It's crazy. Oh, and there are fan shops, too. DC, Disney, Doctor Who. Ooh, a Disney fan
Disney.
Shop.
Disney.
Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm clicking on that as I speak. And look at all of this stuff.
T-shirts?
Well, I'm looking. Who knows? There's a million pages. So they've just got a ton of stuff. And if you are if you want to start your vinyl collection, because what else have you got to do, check out deepdiscount.com. I talked last time about my Shakespeare collection, which is now growing exponentially because they have so many movies that I never had before when I had my comprehensive Shakespeare collection on VHS, which we don't even have a way to play those anymore. You know, we're all doing our best to stay inside, so check out deepdiscount.com. Buy your favorites to keep you company during this time. You'll own them forever. No more searching, bad edits, or sitting through endless commercials. You'll find hundreds and thousands of choices, including new releases, too.
All the cool people are doing vinyl right now. All of them.
That's right. And I think they even sell needles and cartridges and things like that, vinyl accessories. That's nuts. Out this week, Little Women. The latest remake from the classic novel tells the timeless yet timely story of a family during and after the Civil War. Little Women, now available on Blu-ray and DVD for a great price at deepdiscount.com. Support our sponsor. Own your passion. Thanks, Deep Discount.
Thank you. But, you know, I've been... Again, my scientific website that I go to called Facebook.
yes.
I see a lot of articles about people saying that the curve is already flat.
Okay.
Can you speak to that?
I can, a little bit. There are a couple of curves. So which curve are we talking about? So I am now looking at Daniel Stout. You know Daniel. He comes over here. He's a computer genius. He does our website. And he has a website that I've put out on my Twitter, if I'm still on Twitter when you listen to this. But if not, it's stoutlabs-covid-compare.netify.com. We need to come up with a bit ly for that really quick. But anyway, it's COVID-19 stats. I wonder if you searched Stout Labs COVID-19 stats, it would come up. But he has this thing broken down by total cases, deaths, new cases, new deaths, case per 100,000, et cetera. And I will be referencing this on my COVID sit rep on Sundays, which if you've not checked those out, the most recent one will have the most current numbers, but the other ones before, you can skip over the statistics and go to the meat of the things, because I do some basic information on those too. Like someone asked about the type A blood type and type O dichotomy, and I talked about that and explained it and all those kinds of things. So talked about the IgM testing.
What about the curve, though?
Okay, sorry. So I'm getting to the curve. So I'm looking at the total cases in the United States rather than being exponential at this point, in other words, going up by the same multiplier every time. So if you go, you have two cases, then four, then eight, then 16, then 32, then 64, that's an exponential increase. You're going up by a multiple of two every time, right? But if you go 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, had to think about that one for a second, sorry, 12, 14, that is a linear increase in that you're going up by the same number of cases every day. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So on a regular XY axis, the arithmetic increase, you know, that sort of 2, 4, 6, 8, will make a straight line, whereas the exponential one will make a curve that curves up sharply the farther it goes, right? So instead of curving up sharply at this point, we have gone into sort of a linear expansion at this point. and which means that the cases are still going up, but they're going up by approximately the same number every day. It's still a high number, but they're, you know, we're not doubling at the rate that we were originally. Now, if you look at new cases, though, let's look at new cases. What you see is that there was a peak on 4/4/20, and then on 4/5, it was slightly decreased. And then 4/6 rose, but just to a very small degree. And then on 4/7, about the same. So there is some decrease. Now, this is, what did I say, 4 days? There could be data sitting on somebody's desk for 4 days. That's why I'm not so quick to say, hey, we've already passed the peak.
Well, I've been reading this about the curve being flat for weeks. I think these people feel it was flat before everybody made such a big deal about it. I think a lot of these people are people who think that the economy is suffering more than the damage that COVID can do.
Yeah.
And that's where they're kind of getting at.
I understand that. And, what some of them, and I've heard people say this, well, it's just old people like me, and I'm just an old expendable asshole, right? So who cares if I die? But here's the problem with that thinking, is that if this thing carries a, let's just say 1% mortality, just 1%, 99% of people get better, okay? And that's not probably too far from being right. But let's say 1%. Well, we've had 60 million influenza cases in this country this year. And with a 0.1% mortality rate, it's somewhere in there. I haven't worked out the numbers this year yet. But it's generally pretty low. If 60 million people got this virus, 1% of those would be how much? What would that be? Let's ask Echo. Echo, what's 1% of 60 million?
1% of 60 million is 600,000.
So that would be 600,000 people die, and as opposed to 50,000 that have died from influenza this year. So it'd be 10 times more. And then it's not just the deaths, though. There's, for every one person who dies, there's at least 1 to 5 people that end up in the hospital. And so let's just say worst case scenario, it's, 3 million people in the hospital all in this short period of time. Now you've got people being treated in the hallways. And if you get appendicitis, there's nowhere for you to go. If you break your knee, they can't take you, that kind of stuff. That's what we're really trying to avoid, a complete collapse in the medical system. I understand that people are freaking about the economy, and I mean, we're taking a cut in pay too, by the way. I haven't told you about that, at least until this thing is over for 2 months. And I'm willing to take the hit if it'll help, but there are other people who are way, way worse off than taking a cut in pay. Our friends that work in restaurants and in the service industries and the industries that are really hardest hit, in the hotel, airlines, those kinds of places. And people are looking at their 401ks and freaking the F out, and I don't blame them one bit. So on the other hand, I don't know what a better answer would be, because we can't risk complete collapse of the medical system either. So this is what I propose. We take the hit this time, help people as much as we can, donate, double tip, triple tip. I'm okay with the government printing money in this case, although that's just going to increase inflation and make people poorer over time. But, for right now, try to make people whole. And then let's just declare war on these effing viruses so this doesn't happen again. We need to have a space race type program to eradicate human viruses from this world, as far as, or at least be able to have such a rapid response that we can respond to a possible pandemic-causing pathogen within days to weeks rather than weeks to months to years. That's what we've got to have, because we can never let this ever happen again. We have the technology now that we can do that. Let's commit. If we're not going to go to Mars like I wanted to do, that's fine. Let's spend that money on doing this. And no more viruses, unless somebody can show me that there's some benefit to having viruses around. I know there may be some viruses that are beneficial to us in that they keep certain, parasites down or whatever. You know, if we killed all viruses, we might be overrun with some dang slug or something, you know, that's even worse than the viruses were. I don't know. But we need to at least look at it. And if we're not going to eradicate, take the battle to them, at least be ready when they try to attack us again. Because this is bullshit.
Yep.
You know, Ebola can kiss my ass. Marburg can kiss my ass. Smallpox, you're done. You know, we did it with smallpox. We had it beat measles in this country. Back in, 2008, there wasn't a single native case of measles. There were cases of measles, but none of them were contracted in the United States. Well, of course, we've blown that now. But, if you don't like vaccines, okay, well, come up with another way. But we can't allow this. Stupid nanomachine. That's all viruses are. They're nanomachines.
Like on Star Trek.
It's very much like Star Trek. And they are little machines, and all they do is reproduce themselves. To what end? To no end whatsoever. Just to reproduce and then eventually die out. Stupid effing things. We may have viral DNA in our genome, though. And so maybe there is some benefit to evolution. I don't know. There's greater minds than mine, but I can't stand. I'm looking at this curb. I can't stand it.
You're listening to Weird Medicine.
G-Tace, do you experience stress or have anxiety right now?
No, not lately.
Or why would you? Or have chronic pain or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Well, you're not alone. Many people do. Personally, I have had issues with my muscle condition called polymyalgia rheumatica, which, hilariously, it's usually 80-year-old women get. And also I had difficulty sleeping. I know you've had difficulty sleeping.
Difficulty sleeping, anxiety.
Yep.
Crazy.
I was searching for anything that would help, and then I discovered Feels, F-E-A-L-S. What is Feels? It's premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress and anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. It certainly helps me. I notice it when I don't take it. And
I do, too.
It's a very pleasant taste, too. It comes in a tincture, and you get a little dropper, and you just drop it under your tongue. I've been very pleased with it. Altogether, it's very easy to take. You put a couple of drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is finding your right dose is important, and everyone's dose is different. So leave room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need to take more or less to get the effects you're after. There is real human support with Feels. Are you new to CBD? They offer a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience. And it works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, no hangover, and no addiction. Join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month, and you'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com. That's feals.com/fluid. And you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/fluid to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feals.com/fluid.
You're listening to Weird Medicine.
Now, I know you've got a question. I'm looking at states. Let's just look at states real quick. So I'm looking at U.S. data, and let's look at New York. New York's number of cases right now, 139,857, but new cases, that curve is not only flattened, but it is declining pretty nicely. Now, again, it's just been over the last 4 days. So I am hopeful that that means that we are over the hump in New York. But I, like I said, every once in a while, you'll get this data will sit on somebody's desk for 3 or 4 days. So I want to see a trend that lasts for, 7 to 14 days before we start, relaxing. Other states, unbelievable. I'm looking at Florida. Even Florida has done pretty well in flattening that curve right now. And let's pull up Louisiana real quick.
Yeah. New Orleans is a... is a concern.
Yeah, New Orleans is a concern, but Louisiana as a whole had a big spike on 4-2, and then then another smaller spike on 4-4, and then another even smaller one on 4-6. Now, their data is undulating like a sine wave, which makes me think that's reporting. Somebody's reporting. There's some parishes that are reporting every other day or something.
I read that a lot more, the death rate is a lot higher in Louisiana because of the health factors.
Yeah, let's see.
Because everybody down south is heavier.
Yeah, we eat a lot of gravy and biscuits and stuff, and
well,
we have more
good down
hypertension
there.
And diabetes. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
New deaths in Louisiana. Now, we're recording this, and look, we're doing this off the top of our head. So Wednesday, April 8th. So new deaths in Louisiana, according to this, were 70 yesterday. And they were 35 the day before, but then it was kind of just smoldering before that. And it peaked on 4-3, where Louisiana had 60, 68 on 4-5. So anyway, now New York was at 594 and then 791. Yesterday. So you will see the number of deaths lagging. You know, that will decline about 14 days after the new cases decline. Because it makes sense. If someone gets exposed today, they'll get symptomatic in 5 to 11 days. 96% of people will be symptomatic by day 11. And then they'll be sick for another, say, 14 days. So it can take up to 25 days to see these curves lag with conform to each other. So if they had zero new cases in New York starting tomorrow, they would still see some increase in the number of deaths over the next few days to weeks.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
One last question.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are drinking more. I mean, I hear that. I can't say I'm personally experiencing it. Ha ha. But how long is it going to take us all to dry out? What about our liver enzymes? And then, you know, I know when you stop alcohol, there's a great bunch of anxiety, and then people are going to be trying to get out and get life back to normal, and I can't even imagine the anxiety levels, and I just was wondering.
Yeah, I know.
Well, how long does it take people to dry out?
You know, good things can cause stress too. So when we get back into our regular lives, be prepared for stress. I mean, you and I have both experienced the first day on vacation stress, and I know I really don't handle it well.
Yeah.
I've been trying to be better now that I'm cognizant of it, because you think, oh, I'm going on vacation, it'll be awesome, and then you just kind of, you know, in my case, get kind of prickly and easy to just get frustrated and stuff like that. And it's crazy. So to the alcohol question, levels usually rise after alcohol intake that, you know, if it's continued for several weeks. And within about 6 weeks of abstinence, those levels generally will decrease to within the normal reference range, assuming you haven't done permanent damage. The half-life of this liver enzyme GGT is about 14 to 26 days. So let's say 20 days. So if it's up to 100 on day one and it's going to go down to, say, 15, then it'll be 50 after about 20 days and then 25 after 40 days and then work its way down to its final low level of 15. So, and just be careful that taking a lot of Tylenol while you're drinking a lot is a recipe for liver problems. So try to avoid that and not binge drinking and Tylenol for sure. And if you have a drinking problem, if you feel like you have a problem, there are virtual meetings on AA now. We have a mutual friend who I, you know, recommended that he call AA and get in on a virtual meeting because he's just having a hard time with this, you know. So it's tough and nothing easy about it.
I think when things start to get better and start to go back to normal, I mean, I would like for you to spend some time on, you know, how to reduce anxiety because that's going to be huge. I mean, the whole world's going to be prickly.
Agreed.
You know?
Well, let's do one exercise right now. We've done it before on the show, but it's very effective, and it's called square breathing. And this is when you start feeling anxious, because the other day I was in my office, and, you know, I used to have pretty bad anxiety. I had panic disorder, all kinds of stuff, and I'm mostly 100% gone. I mean, cured. I hate to use the word cured. Because obviously I'm not, because the other day I was in my office and I started feeling lightheaded and I thought, oh gosh, maybe my oxygen level is low. Maybe I've got a problem. I got my nurse to check my oxygen levels 100%. And that's not normal. 96, you know, to 98% is pretty normal for walking around. So the fact that it was so high was, it was likely that I was hyperventilating and didn't even realize it. And then I realized what it was anxiety. I was having anxiety. It had been so long since I had it, I forgot what it felt like. So one way to break that when you start feeling that is to do this thing called square breathing, because the physical symptoms of hyperventilation come from blowing off too much carbon dioxide. And so your carbon dioxide level drops. Your heart may start beating faster. You'll get tingling of your fingers, tingling around your mouth, and you'll feel lightheaded. So, and that's a product of hyperventilation. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm breathing fast. You could breathe one time a minute more than your body actually needs, and this will still happen. It'll take longer. Like I could hyperventilate right now and get it down in a minute, but it might take me an hour or two if I'm just anxious and I'm breathing 13 times a minute when I only need to breathe 12 because I'm anxious. So to stop that, you could breathe into a paper bag. That's one way to do it. If you breathe into a paper bag, you're blowing out carbon dioxide, then re-inhaling it. And that carbon dioxide that you're re-inhaling goes back into your lungs and increases your carbon dioxide level in your bloodstream, and the symptoms go away. Problem is, if you do this on a subway, you just put a target on your back that this person's having a problem. And so there's another way to do it, and that's, as I said, square breathing. So let's do it. Square breathing. So you're going to inhale for four beats. However long those four beats are, it doesn't matter, but you're going to inhale for four. Then you're going to hold for four. Then exhale for four. Then hold for four. And repeat. Now, if you will continue to do that, you can only inhale or exhale one-fourth of the time, right? There's no other number that it could be. And if you're only inhaling or exhaling 25% of the time, it is impossible for you to hyperventilate. Then your carbon dioxide levels will increase in about a minute, and you will feel better almost immediately. And the great thing about it is you can do this on the subway or in a plane or anywhere else, and no one ever has to know what you're doing because they can't detect it. So... all right, and that's just a little tidbit from your old pal, Dr. Steve, and we'll do more as time goes on. I think that's a good idea, Tace. Thank you. You're a dang genius. All right, let's see here. Okay.
Hey, doctor. My name is Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
I went to the doctor. They said I thought I had toe fungus. My toes are getting, nails are getting real thick and crusty. But they said it's not fungus. I tried Lamisil for 6 months. It did nothing. They said my toes were injured when I was younger, and I would just have to live with it. I'd like to get your thought. Thank you.
Oh. Well, that's weird. You know, did this happen to you suddenly? If so, that hypothesis doesn't make sense to me. You know, changes in your toenails are usually a sign of an underlying condition, not always. And if they grow thicker over time, it's often a fungal infection called onychomycosis. So I'd be interested to know why they said it wasn't that. Because as they continue to thicken, they just get bigger and bigger. And now your shoes push down on them and it causes pain. And I had one toenail. It was so gross. And I remember the very last straw was when we got on a boat to do a parasailing thing. And I caught these 16-year-old girls looking at my feet with this look of disgust. And it's like, oh, he's so gross. And so as soon as we got home, I made an appointment, had that toenail ripped off. And fungal infections can be can look like toenails that change color, or they get this thick and this junk underneath, and they split or crumble, or they could look scaly or chalky, stuff like that. So any of those things, if they have debris under them.
I wish we had a picture.
Yeah, it'd be nice if this was a video show, but just Google onychomycosis. Onychomycosis is... it just means it's a fancy name for toenail fungus.
Do you remember that guy on Opie and Anthony that used to, Flea was his name. He
Flea.
Used to pee on his feet because he said it killed the fungus.
Well, that was, yes, he was talking about athlete's foot. I remember that.
It's disgusting.
Was it Flea? He was a kid, right?
Wasn't that his name?
I think so.
Wonder
where he
is.
That was the first show we ever did, I think.
Wonder what's going on with him now.
I don't know. Probably still peeing on his feet.
Probably still. He says it's made his skin soft, too.
We did justify some of what he was saying, and it made the producers mad because they apparently, I guess, I don't know, they wanted us to crap on him. But urea, which is found in urine, it can be made into a cream called urea cream, strangely enough, that you would call urea-containing cream urea cream. And it is a skin softener, and you can also soften nails with it. We would have people put urea cream on their nails before we would go in with a Dremel drill to just to drill them, grind them down if they got too big. So there you go. Now, if you have onychomycosis, which they told this guy he didn't, I would love for him to call back and tell us why they thought that it wasn't that. There is a medication on the market called Jublia. They're not sponsors of this show. You put it on for 48 weeks, and it will decrease toenail fungus significantly in people who already don't have toenails that are already destroyed, okay? So if it's just starting. Now, the interesting thing is that I also read a study that showed that Vicks VapoRub, if you put it on twice a day on your toes, will resolve toenail fungus in 48 weeks. So it may not be the medicine in the Jublia. I don't know. It may just be that putting something on your toenails for 48 weeks is enough to kill the fungus.
Like suffocates it?
Yeah, maybe. But I found that Vicks thing very interesting because it was exactly the same amount of time that you're supposed to put this other stuff on. Now, toenails grow really slowly. I bashed my toenail once. I think it took a year for the divot to kind of grow out and finally allow me to clip it off so that you couldn't see it anymore. So there you go. There's your one non-COVID question for
the day. So are your feet not gross now?
I don't think so. I've had my two big toenails removed. And then, you know, if you don't really look hard, you can't really tell. But it's not a big, brown, disgusting horn sticking out of my foot anymore. This is horrendous. I was so embarrassed. It wasn't like I was trying to make time with these girls, but, you know, just the look on their faces.
Yeah,
just, he is so gross.
Your feet have to look. They have to look good.
Yeah. People actually do look at your feet, I guess.
They really, really do. And that's why women spend all that money in salons.
Yep. Okay. Well, you about ready to get out of here? We're getting into that season where it's going to be 1,000 degrees up here, so we'll have to turn the air conditioning on. It never works that well, but I apologize for that.
Okay.
You haven't had to be up here during those times that I remember, but it gets pretty bad. But we'll turn the fan on, and well, maybe we'll just get naked. Well, thanks always go to my delightful wife, Tacy. Thanks for being here. The response from Twitter and Facebook and emails has been nothing but positive. So
until that one guy that I was mean to.
Well, I've anyway. I gotta go. Text him again and just tell him how sorry.
Well, I mean,
I
think at some point you need to just drop it.
I know. I need to make amends, though.
Well, it sounds like you have really tried, and
yeah. Anyway, I hope he must listen to this because this is where he emailed me. So, dude, just email me and I'm sorry. So we can't forget Rob Sprance, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt from the Syndicate, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.